Good morning. Today I'll be reading Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh.
Thank you, Reagan, for reading the word to us this morning. Appreciate that. Glad you're all here this morning. We have an opportunity to praise our Lord in song. If you'd like to, please stand. Lift up the voice of Jesus. Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst at my side. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long. We fall down, we lay of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, 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 is the Lamb. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, 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 is the Lamb. We cry, holy, holy, holy. May our home be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. May injustice bow to Jesus as the people turn to pray from the mountain. Our praises rise to you from the heavens to the nations. Hear our singing, fill the air. May a light shine in the darkness as we walk before the cross. May your glory fill the whole earth as the water o'er the seas, from the mountain to the valley. Hear our praises rise to you.
You're the hope to the hopeless.
Communion meditation this morning entitled Waiting Lounge, or I'm changing some of the words to Airport Terminal, okay? It's a familiar sight to a business traveler, the airport terminal. Look around and see the people who will soon be on board your flight. Some are going away, others are going home. Some have emotional reasons for the flight, the joy of a marriage, the grief of a funeral. Others fly only for business. Some might even think that this is a flight to a new life. Some are going home to the same life. You can't tell by looking, but they are all there. Watching the congregation prepare for communion is kind of like that. Behind the sober faces, there are many reasons for coming to the Lord's Supper. Some genuinely hunger and thirst for righteousness. Here they are filled with the righteousness of Christ, our atoning sacrifice. Some are sick in mind, body, or heart and seek the healer of all. Some are alone, even desolate, and seek the only comforter. Others see it more routinely. He is the master. I am his servant. Where else would I be found other than at his table. He is the creator. I am the created. In my creator, I find purpose and joy. But no matter what our reasons, it's a risky business to be at the Lord's Supper. Risky? The God who weighs the hearts of men know the fraud from the true. Paul tells us, I lost my place. The question of communion is, while I can see many reasons why I would come to him at this table, why does he come to me? It certainly is not for my own virtue or worthiness. Even the best of us are sinners. No, it's not my holiness that calls him to us. It is not our virtue and righteousness that calls him. It is his love and mercy. Communion is for my benefit, first, that I might know the mercy of God. I do not deserve it, yet still he bids me come. Next, that I might know the love of God and grow in that love. Finally, that we might know who he is, who he truly is, to the increase of our humility. I cannot earn or deserve this, but I can reverence it. How? I will acknowledge him for who he is. I will praise his greatness and give thanks for his love and mercy that's so freely given to us at the cross. We will confess who we are as well, who we are in what we have done, and then recognize that we really cannot deserve his mercy. Like the tax collector of old, we will ask, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Communion in the church is kind of like that terminal that we talked about. Some are here in joy, some are here in admiration, some in pain, some not really sure of anything, but they need to be here. Communion is the terminal of the church. We remember his death until he comes again, and on that day, the church, his people, will take flight for what is hoped for and will have arrived. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for another day of life and this beautiful day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for those that made it a priority to be here this morning, and it's not by accident. We know that. Lord, we just thank you for each and every one. We ask you to be with those that are not able to be here that would like to. Lord, we thank you for these emblems that you provided for us, that are table of remembrance, that the sacrifice that you did on our behalf. Lord, we certainly didn't deserve it. We just ask a blessing on the communion bread and the juice this morning, Lord. And we just thank you for what it represents in our life. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Belly, and this is what it says to me. Tell me that I'm ever, ever alone. J-U-S-U-S, he tell me that he gave his best. Down better than you'll ever know. Ardon knows exactly what I need. So I remember this. Let's go. As he tells, we see he's there. Knock, 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 knock. God opens up the door. As he tells, we see he's there. Knock, 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 knock. God opens up the door. J-O-E, and this is what it says to me. It tells me that I'm never, ever alone. J-U-S-U-S, can tell me lucky day is best. And now the name you'll ever know. Our dog knows exactly what I mean. So I remember this. Let's go. He tells, we'll see, he's there. Knock, 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 knock. God opens up the door. Ask, he tells, we see, he's there. Knock, 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 knock. God opens up the door. Ask, he tells, we see he's there. When you knock, 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 God opens up the door. When you ask, he cares. When you seek, he's there. Knock, 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 God opens up the door. Our dog knows exactly what I mean. So I remember this. Let's go. When you ask, he cares. When you seek, he's there. Knock, 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 knock. Opens up the door. Ask, he tells. We see, he's there. Knock, 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 knock. God opens up the door. The door. Open up the door.
Thank you, Mr. Jeremiah. All the kids are welcome to head downstairs to Junior Church this morning. Question I want to ask this morning is, have you ever had to start all over on something? Just when you think you got something accomplished or life gets comfortable and then boom, you got to start all over again. Well, I think it was last year. I went deer hunting one morning, and normally when I go deer hunting, my deer stand is way back in the back of a field. By some woods, and I'm able to drive my truck usually about 100 yards from where I'm going to hunt, and I walk in quietly and try not to scare anything. But this day when I went deer hunting, it was really, really muddy, really sloshy snow on the ground, and I just knew if I tried driving my truck back there, I wasn't going to make it. So I didn't want to get stuck in the dark. When I go deer hunting in the morning, I got to get set up in the dark before the sunrise comes. And so I just decided I was gonna walk it. It's not far. Probably, would you say a quarter of a mile, Reese? Maybe from where we go. Not even half a mile walk. But it's quite a walk, especially when you're in knee-high boots and you're just walking through mud and slush and you got all your hunting equipment with you. Well, I made it back there. I walked back there and got settled in my stand and got my mask on, get everything ready, and I just sit down. I'm ready for the morning, and I grab my bow, and I'm gonna put my arrow in the bow, and no arrow. I completely forgot my quiver of arrows in the truck. Well, there's no hunting without any arrows. So I had to get all the way out of the tree stand, walk all the way back, quarter of a mile, back to the truck, get my arrows, and walk all the way back. And I get back to the tree stand, and I'm thinking, is this even worth it? And by then, who knows how many deer I scared, and I didn't even see a deer that morning. But sometimes we have to start all over again, and it can be very, very frustrating. Some people have experienced things a whole lot worse than having to go back to your truck because you forgot something. I forget my mask all the time when I go to the store. I'll be almost into the store, and I'm like, oh, my mask, and I got to run back to my truck, get my mask, put it back on, and I just have to start all over again a lot of times. Some people have actually lost huge things. Some of either yourself or you know somebody whose home is burned to the ground, and they have absolutely lost everything. Mary and I have experienced that, not ourselves, but we have friends and family who have experienced that, and we helped them rebuild their home. They had to start from scratch. They completely lost everything, lost their home, lost their clothes, lost all their appliances, family photos, just everything that they had collected in life over several years. I just had to start all over again. Some people have to start over in jobs where you had a job that you really loved and for some reason or another, that job was no longer available to you and you had to start a whole new career sometimes. Sometimes people lose relationships and they have to start all over again in life in a relationship. Or just new things have to happen all the time, unfortunately, sometimes here on earth. But you know what? It got me thinking, we serve a God of new things. God is constantly doing new things. He is not the God of old stuff. And that's kind of why, that's what I titled my sermon this morning was doing a new thing. We serve a God that is constantly doing a new thing. He's a God in the beginning. We got to know that. You got to remember that. God is God. He is the God of the beginning. He's the God in the end. And he's the author and he's the finisher. And it's not over till he says it's over. Sometimes we just want to give up if we lose something or we lose our everything that we think is our everything. We have to remember, you know, life here on earth is not over till God says it's over. He's not done using you until he says he's done using you and takes you home. So sometimes we do need to start all over, especially if we're following Jesus, because that road will take us to many different places, and sometimes we start all over in ministry. God may have you working in the nursery every Sunday for 20 years, and all of a sudden he said, you know what, we're going to change roads. We're going to have you teaching a Sunday school class, or we're going to have you serving meals somewhere. Ministry opportunities change all the time, and you start all over in your ministry opportunity. Although we may have to seemingly start from scratch, we do have a very sure foundation, and that is in Jesus Christ. We do serve a God that does new things. But always, 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 when we talk about this morning, that rock that we have that is always the foundation of everything that we have and everything that we are is Jesus Christ. And that never changes. For Christ followers, life is going to change, ministry is going to change, relationships are going to come and go. But our foundation is always on Jesus Christ. So as we talk about this stuff, as we talk about the God of new things, let us always be reminded, though, that Jesus, in all of that, is the sure foundation. So if you're following along in your outline in the bulletin, point number one is, you know, we serve a God of new things. He has always been a God of new things from Old Testament to New Testament. I am going to throw a lot of scripture at you this morning. If you just want to write them down real quick, I don't expect you to move in your Bible as fast as I'm going to read these to you. So if you just want to highlight some things or write them down real quick, or if you don't have time to write them down, you say, hey, Joel, I missed that scripture. I've got it right here in front of you. See me after church and I'll get you that scripture. But, you know, in the beginning, God started anew by creating the heavens and the earth. That was something brand new that God created. In Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. That was something brand new that God created. His mercies, Lamentations, verses chapter 3, verse 23 says, his mercies are new every morning. That's a huge word there, every. God's mercies are new. Every morning that you wake up, God has new mercies for you. Something new in store for you today. He made a new covenant through Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, raised from the grave, God made a new covenant with mankind that gives us access to the throne and assurance of eternal life. Jesus, in John chapter 13, verse 34, gave a new command. Jesus says, I give you a new command today. Love one another as I have loved you. You know, throughout the Old Testament and through the old Jewish law, it was always eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Somebody wrongs you, go ahead, wrong your back. Get your justification from your own hands. Jesus says, no, we're not going to do that anymore. I'm going to give you a new command. I want you to love your neighbor as I have loved you. And we know how God has loved us. We know how Christ has loved us in laying his life down for us. Jesus was even buried in a brand new tomb. That was odd in that day. Tombs were used over and over again. Sometimes they were shared. Jesus was laid in a new tomb. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20, it says he rose from the dead to make a new and living way. If you're getting the theme here, God is always doing new things over and over and over again, especially in the New Testament. God is saying, I'm doing a new thing. He said that in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, he said they that believe in him would speak with new tongues. There would be this new relationship now between God and man. He gives the new wine of the Holy Spirit to the thirsty. When a person is born again, he writes a new name in glory. When you get to heaven, you will receive your new name. Incredibly, some men receive their heavenly name, their new name, here on earth. Abram was given his heavenly name, Abraham. Peter, Simon, was given his heavenly name, Petra, Peter, here on earth. You will receive a new name that is written for you in glory. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it says that all of them sang to the throne of God, they sang a new song. Constantly new. We serve a God that loves new things. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 2, it says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in God. God puts a new song in my heart. David's crying out every day with God's new mercies. He gives me a new song of praise to worship him. God tells us he will make a new heaven and a new earth that's being formed, that's being readied for us today. When all things come to an end here, God will have a new heavens, a new earth for us to exist in all for all eternity. He's building a new Jerusalem. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, it says, he who was seated on the throne said this, I am making everything new. Folks, we serve a God that is constantly doing new things. He's making things new over and over. God is a fresh God that gives fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh rain, fresh oil, fresh manna, and a fresh word from heaven to his people each and every day. And it's easy to say, you know what? I've read this book from cover to cover. There's nothing new for me. Wrong. You can read the same chapter of the book of the Bible every day for a week, and the Holy Spirit can feed you something new. He has a new word for you each and every day. If you allow the Holy Spirit to open your heart, open your mind, God has new things for you in store for you each and every day. I love when he says, I have new mercies for you every day. So we serve a God that is a God of new things. He's not a God of the old. He's not a God of the past. He's not a God of that dwells on your past failures and your past wrongdoings. He wants to make something new. He is the God of the new. And he gives us this new birth. Jesus talks about the new birth that we have in him. Paul and Peter both preach about the new birth that we have in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Again, Jesus and God's talking about, I'm making things new again. Even with you. Excuse me, I got an itchy throat this morning. God wants you to constantly change. The day that you think I've arrived, I am who God wants me to be, you're wrong. God is constantly molding and shaping you, giving you new things, new gifts, new talents, new relationships, new people that have come into your life who need to know Him and to know His mercies and His grace daily. Nature in itself tells us that God makes things new all the time. We're experiencing new things right now outside. There's new growth, new animals that are coming around. God's making things fresh around here. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that Jesus as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. A new life in Him. Matthew chapter 9. Shortly after the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 9 verse 16 says, neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. God wants you to be renewed daily. He's going to give us new things daily. It's impossible to have to receive those new blessings when we're constantly pouring into the old. Constantly looking after the old over and over and over again. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24 says, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and true holiness. God wants to make all things new in your life. When you give your life to Jesus Christ and you are a brand new baby in Him, when you've accepted His grace, His forgiveness, you've been buried in His baptism, you have rose from that water, a new person, you are a new creation that is moldable, shapeable into the image of God. And God gives us this brand new birth in Him, to grow in Him and to become holy as He is holy, set apart, different from the rest of the world. Which brings me to my main text this morning. If you're following along in the outline, brings us to Isaiah chapter 43. And this is what I really want to point out. If you want to open up to Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to read just verses 18 through 19. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 18 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Exclamation point there. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. God says, forget the former things. I'm going to go through a bunch of things here in life. I asked Adelie Brain to help me this. Adelie, can you come on up this morning? Adelie's going to help me because we're going to repeat something over and over again. And like I said, my voice is kind of scratchy this morning, and Adelie's going to help me. We're going to talk about letting things go. And no, I'm not going to sing the song from Frozen, let it go, let it go. Or not. That might sound like the theme, and I am not going to sing. But Adelie's going to grab the microphone. Come on up here with me, Adelie, if you want to. Every time I point to Adelie, she's going to say, let it go. Let me hear it.
Let it go.
There you go. We're going to burn this into our hearts. We're going to burn this into our minds this morning, and Adelie's going to help me, all right? If you are holding on to something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to
let it go.
If you're holding on to past hurts, if you're holding on to past pains, you need to
let it go.
If someone can't treat you right, if someone can't love you back, and somebody can't see your worth, and that bothers you,
let it go.
If someone has angered you,
let it go.
If you are holding on to some thoughts of evil or revenge,
let it go.
If you are involved in a wrong relationship or some kind of addiction today,
let it go.
If you have a bad attitude about something in life,
let it go.
If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better,
let it go.
If you're struck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him,
let it go.
If you are struggling with the healing of a broken relationship today,
let it go.
If you keep trying to help someone who won't even try to help themselves,
let it go.
If you're feeling depressed and stressed about anything in life today,
let it go.
If there is a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off of it, then you need to
let it go.
Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for you in 2021.
Let it go.
The battle is the Lord's. Thank you, Adelie. So what do we need to do? Let it go. God says, see, I am doing a new thing. I love that when Jesus says that, or when God says that here in Isaiah. He says, forget the former things. And then with a big exclamation point, God says, see, I am doing a new thing. I want you to let go of what you have no control over. Let me be in control. Let me create something new for you. Let me jumpstart your new way. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. And I love when he says, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. I am making a way in the desert, in the place where it may seem helpless for you, where in the place where it may seem broken for you and will never get fixed again. God says, I am making a way. I am making a new way. I have a new plan for you, which requires a new beginning. And that takes us to point number four this morning. When God is making a new thing, when He is doing a new thing in your life, there will be a new beginning. You may have to go all the way back to the truck. You may have to walk that quarter mile again. Go back to the truck and start all over. You may have to go right back to the foundation and rebuild everything that you thought you had in life that you needed or wanted, and it was all taken away. You need to go back to that foundation of Jesus Christ. And He gives us this new beginning. David needed a new beginning. If you are in need of a new beginning this morning, you've got to know, you need to know that you are not alone in that. If there's an area of your life that you just know, I need God to start me in a new place, put me in a new direction. There were men and women throughout the entire Bible who needed a new beginning. David was one of them. David, King David, the one that slew Goliath, the one that became the great king of Israel, the one that Jesus' bloodline came from. King David needed a new beginning. Psalm chapter 51, starting in verse 9, David says, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart. He's asking God to start all over. Change my heart. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me. He's asking God to do something huge here. Asking for a new beginning. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. He's asking God here, let's start over. I have wronged you. I have sinned against you. Give me a new heart. Create in me something different. I don't want to be against you anymore. I want to be for you. I want to be your servant. I want to be the king you've called me to be. I want to be the child you've called me to be. Create in me something new. Peter needed a new beginning. I believe that's one of the reasons why Peter received his new name here on earth. God was giving him a new name, a new beginning. Peter was going to be the rock on which the church was going to stand. Peter had the gospel message that was going to be shared with the whole world, and it was going to start there. It was going to start there in Jerusalem, and it was going to spread west. And it was going to go around the world to the east where it is today. John Mark needed a new beginning. The clay that Jesus talks about, the clay that the Bible talks about, had a new beginning. Jeremiah, the great prophet Jeremiah in chapter 18, verse 3, It says, so I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into a new pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Everybody is marred and stained and scarred by sin. And when we allow God to create something new, we take ourselves and we put ourselves in the potter's hand. And we allow God to make something new, which requires you to have a new beginning in Him. And start a life that is no longer scarred with sin, no longer guilty, but you're holy now, set apart, made perfect in the eyes of God. That's what gives you the ability today to go before the throne of God and ask Him for anything in the name of Jesus. Because the day that you were forgiven, the day that you were offered mercy and grace, was the day that you allowed God to put yourself in His hands and to create something new and beautiful without blemish in His eyes. Joshua had a new beginning. Joshua, he was there with the Israelites. He followed Moses. He was Moses' right-hand man. He thought he was going to walk into the promised land with Moses, the leader. And God had different plans for Moses there. And Joshua's beginning started there in the new land. And he had a new role. And he's the one that gave the great speech, great sermon. He talked about, you guys can worship whoever you want to worship, the gods of your father, whatever. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And it started there. What seems to be the end may really be a new beginning. We need to understand that, especially in the world we live in today. Whatever's going on in your life that seems like this is it, this is the end, pay attention. It may just be the beginning of something new God's doing in your life. Maybe He had to strip you of something or someone in your life in order to create what He wanted to create in you. Maybe He had to strip something material from you, strip a relationship, strip a job, strip whatever it is that He needed to take away. Don't look at that as the end. My life's over now. How do I exist? I don't know who I am. Yes, you do. You are a child of the Most High God, created to be loved and to love Him in return. That's who you are. And today may be a new beginning for you. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 reminds us that God is in the business of making things new. He is all about renewal. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Everything in this world grows weary. Everything in this world grows faint. Our physical bodies will not be able to do what they did when we were 16. I have to remind my son, this 47-year-old body cannot do what his 18-year-old body can do anymore. Just ain't going to happen. Things are going to turn to dust, but we serve a God who is in the business of renewal. Those who walk in Him, it says, God will renew your strength daily. He will give you the power and the strength that you need to accomplish what He has called you to do today. He promises, when He says they will run and they will not grow weary, they will walk and not faint. And that's because of the joy of the Lord. That is why we have the gift of the joy of the Lord in our life, so that we will not grow weary of serving Him. Because let me tell you, people will make you weary. Because we serve imperfect people who do imperfect things. And people will make you weary. People will make you tired. They will wear you out. They will use you and they will abuse you. But God says, keep your eyes on me. Jesus says, you keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on the cross. You will not grow weary of serving me. You will not grow weary on the path home. So this morning, my invitation is very simple. It's a simple question. What is it in your life that God is waiting to make new? Ask the Holy Spirit that this morning. As we sing our invitation this morning, we're going to sing an old hymn an old favorite of mine. It's, I surrender all. Pay attention to those words and mean it as you sing it to Jesus. What in your life today do you need to surrender to Jesus Christ that you're holding on to too tightly? That maybe God wants to do something new? I ask the question, won't you surrender your past to Him and let Him make something new out of you and something new out of your life today? Folks, God wants to do something new. He wants to do something new with you today, not tomorrow. He is the God of today, and He offers new mercies today, and He molds and shapes today. So as we say, stand before God this morning, I surrender. I surrender everything I am to You. I surrender my will to You. I surrender my body, my spirit, my mind to You. Create and make something new today. Won't you ask God to do that? And won't you allow Him to do that this morning? Let's stand and let's respond to that invitation.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.